The book of Daniel, chapter 5, is where I want to go to. The book of Daniel, chapter 5. Now, Daniel, as you turn into Daniel, chapter 5, was wrote to the nations. And then Zechariah was wrote to the Jews. So if you're Jewish, you ought to read the book of Zechariah. It was wrote specifically to the Jews. And Revelations was wrote to the church. I would tell everyone that's a Christian or a Jewish Christian to read at least two books, Daniel and Revelations. Let me say Daniel was wrote, Zechariah and Revelations. Daniel was wrote to the nations. Zechariah wrote to the Jews, and Revelation was wrote to the church. And people say, well, you can't understand Revelation. Yes, you can. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ, who's Jewish. And sometimes Christian people don't seem to understand it, because how can you dislike a Jew if your Savior is a Jew? Which is kind of silly, isn't it? So, but Daniel was a man of great understanding, and yet he was a slave. He was captive by Nebuchadnezzar. To make a long story short, he became almost next to the king. A slave became boss over everything because he was a powerful man. I want to read this, Daniel chapter 5. The title of my sermon today is How to Be a Devout Dissolver of Doubt. Doubt is an amazing thing. It's just as powerful as faith. It works in the flesh. Faith works in the spirit. How to be a devout dissolver of doubt, or you could put an undertitle, the primary job of the believer. My primary job to you is to dissolve doubt in your mind, to shut it down, so you can receive the fullness of what God wants you to have, spiritual, physical, and financial. What stops you is doubt. Nothing else but doubt. But if you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter no more, because your doubts have been doubted because you've learned to doubt your doubts. Say that again. Let me slow down. If you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter no more. When the devil puts doubt in your mind, doubt it. Since he used it, you use it too. So when you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter no more because you doubted your doubts. So there's nothing he can use because all things are possible to them that believe. So the title of the sermon is How to Be a Devout Dissolver of Doubts, or the primary job of the believer. And I'm reading out of the King James Version. I want you to see this. A man named Belshazzar, chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink thereon. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. Verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, wrote up over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, verse 6, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. He got scared. Something happened. Like all of a sudden right now, if you saw on this green wall here, all of a sudden a hand appeared and began to write letters. It shocked them. Now they're drinking out of holy vessels that belong and consecrated to God. But he figured he's king. This is Nebuchadnezzar's boy. And he don't want to pay too much attention to Daniel. He don't even know who Daniel is. Daniel is 92 years old at the time of this. Still ministering to God's people. Verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and the king spake, said to the wise men of Babylon. Watch this. Whosoever shall read this writing, verse 7, and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. In other words, he says, I'm going to pay big bucks for someone to interpret this writing. But they couldn't do it in verse 8. Verse 9, then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, verse 10, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, I'm reading a little scripture here today, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man, oh glory, I love that, verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods, were found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Verse 12, I want to read this interpretation. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding. Notice this, he had an excellent spirit of knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, and I love this statement, and dissolving of doubts were found in him. Another translation says, dissolving of knotty problems. He was a dissolver of doubts. The queen remembered it. Now I want to go over to verse 16. And Belshazzar's talking. I heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel, verse 17, answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Why? He's not a preacher's for sale. There's no iniquity in this man. This man's not twisted. This man's not trying to get something from me. He's trying to get something to you. He's not for sale. He is a dissolver of doubts, which is his primary job. Look what it says at verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Title of this sermon today is how to be a devout dissolver of doubts, the primary job of the believer. I'm going to do a little teaching this morning if I can, if I may. Now I want you to write this down. This will help you if you're taking notes. Doubts and questions are a common lot in life given to man by Satan at the fall. At the very fall, if you go to Genesis 3, you'll find that Eve is looking at this beautiful tree. And the devil speaks to her through a snake and says, why don't you go ahead and eat that tree? And she says, no, the Lord told us not to eat of the tree because if we eat of the tree, we shall die. Now watch this. One translation said a dissolver of doubts. Another one says a dissolver of knotty problems. The devil immediately says, you shall not die. He's putting doubt in her mind that what God has said is true. He is creating doubt when Eve ought to be dissolving doubt. He gives her a knotty problem. Listen to the point. Doubts and questions are a common lot in life given to man by Satan at the fall. And he said, Eve, you will not die. So what was Eve's problem? Write this down. To be simply curious is to multiply doubt. Just because you care, I mean, if you just get curious about something and not investigate something, it will multiply doubt. If you're curious, if you come to see somebody, God heal somebody because you're just curious about it, or you're curious and say, well, I'm going to drop a dollar in this offering plate to see if it'll work. All it's going to do is multiply your doubt. To be simply curious is to multiply doubt. Now, never go after the truth merely to find it, but to practice it and live by it. See, that's why I'm a very strong man in the things that I believe, because you see, I have found truth. Truth works for me. Not only do I live it, I practice it. Sometimes it's hard to practice it. Sometimes I don't want to practice it. But I know what the truth says, and the Bible says the truth will set you free. How many of you want to be free? Amen. Truth will do it every time, not some of the time. You see, but you got to understand that doubts and questions are a common lot in life given to man by Satan at the fall. But you see, my primary job as a believer is to dissolve your doubts. That's why I do an offering teaching before I receive an offer. Not to get more money, because I got money. And I don't mean that arrogantly, but by no means. When I say that, people write, say, give me some. No. Why? Because I'm not your God. Now, if God told me to do that, I would. That's not the issue, but I'm not your God. And the minute you make someone else your source, you got trouble on your hands. You better keep God as your source, because he's more than enough. You see what I'm saying? My job is to dissolve doubt. When I was praying for Sister Hazel, my desire is to dissolve what that doctor said. Not deny it, just dissolve it. So a new report will come. And that's even scripture. Whose report shall you believe? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, or the strength of God, or the power of God? So to be simply curious is to multiply doubt. I'm not just simply curious about the scripture. I look for truth, David. I'm a man. I'm searching for truth. If Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. If he's the life, the devil can't kill you. Oh, Lord. So never go after the truth merely to find it, but to practice it and live by it. So I live by the truth. You see, I just simply live by the truth. And that's my lot in life, to live by what God says. But yet sometimes what God says goes against my mind. Do you understand that? I mean, a lot of things God says goes completely against my mind. The Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. No! Now, I'm not talking about my physical neighbor. I know they've been living by me for 18 years. I still don't know them. I look at them and go, they look at me and go, That's a crying shame to be that living in there. Not, you know. But when they moved in, we brought over some cookies. That was the last time we saw them. They ain't been back neither. Maybe them cookies were no good. Kathy, I don't know. We're trying to be nice. Welcome to the neighborhood. It was a blessing. But I wish I could get to know them. But you know, I can if I make that effort or they make that effort. You got to make yourself do things because the world's busy. You see what I'm saying? So when you never go after the truth merely to find it, but to practice it and live by it. See, the spiritual person is the seeing person. You become the interpreter of your life when you are spiritual. You interpret your life. You just like Daniel. Let a writing come on the wall and you don't have to try to find a soothsayer or a Sister Charlotte or somebody like that to try to figure out what's going to happen to your future. Your future's already been wrote down. All you got to do is receive it. So when I tell people God will bless you, my natural mind says, oh, Lord, suppose it don't happen. They're going to call you a liar. They ain't got anything to do with me. It's got to do with God's word and the conditions you meet to that word. One time I was looking at this church and I wasn't going to receive an offering because they looked pretty bad. You know what I'm saying? I said, Lord, gee, they need help. I don't want to receive nothing. I'm going to help them. And the Lord said, Jesse, what you doing? I said, I'm going to give them an offering. He said, no, you're not. I said, I'm not. Well, Lord, I said, look like they need it. He said, that's the problem. They need it. They invited you here so you could bless them. I said, you mean they don't like me? They just want some of my money? He said, yeah. So I kind of handed around at this particular church. I said, why'd you invite me? Well, Brother Jesse, I tell you, you're such a blessing. And you know, we heard you help churches. The Lord was right. I said, I certainly do. I'm here. And that's all I'm going to do is I'm here. And the Lord, I wasn't going to receive, and the Lord said, receive an offering. I said, God, they ain't got nothing. And then he told me this statement. It's always there. It's always there. And it was one of the biggest offerings ever received in that church for a guest speaker or for anybody. The pastor liked to pass out. He couldn't get over it. I said, see, you sitting on money you don't even know you got. You see, you're always looking at someone else to meet the need instead of you preaching the word. You see what I'm saying? The spiritual person is the seeing person. You become the interpreter of life. Daniel was the spiritual person of that time. And he told the king, look, I don't care what you got. I ain't for sale. I've come here to I'm going to dissolve all the doubts because all these soothsayers in this camp, we don't know what it is. He said, I'll dissolve that. So the true way of dissolving doubts is to start, write this down, the true way of dissolving doubts is to start at the beginning. To learn from the past is the wisdom of the present. You see, just don't never forget what happened to you. Never forget the past. It's the wisdom of the present. The true way of dissolving doubts is to start at the beginning. To learn from the past is the wisdom of the present. In other words, I hadn't forgotten anything I've learned, ladies and gentlemen. I rehearse it. I put it in my mind. Me and Kathy sometime on a significant seat, we stick the check on a refrigerator, slap it when we go by in the name of Jesus, 100-fold. And they go, oh, that don't work. It works for us. One time, I'll never forget the first time I ever gave $10,000, like I passed out. I was at a Kenneth Hagin meeting in 1984, I think it was, 82, 84, something like that. Make a long story short, I was sitting next to a guy, and some guy got there, he said, there's several people here today going to give $10,000. And I said to myself, yo, mama, Jack, ain't going to be me. Be somebody else, ain't going to be me. To myself, all of a sudden this man leaned over next to me. He said, the Lord just told me to give $10,000. I said, oh, I heard it myself. Let me get away from this boy. I'm hearing what the Lord telling him. And the Lord said, I'm telling you too, Jesse. Oh, Jesus, you got to be kidding. I said, that's all I got. He said, that's all I asked for. What was the Lord trying to do to me? Dissolve my doubts. The primary job of God or the primary job of a believer. Well, praise God. He said, if you come up here, you can shake Brother Hagin's hand. I said, for $10,000, I'm going to rip his arm off. $10,000, I'm going to rip his arm off. Could shake his hand. I don't need to shake his hand. Now watch this. It just really blew the socks off of me. I went up there and shook his hand. I'll never forget it. Pig, let me have your hand. I mean, most people were like this. God bless you, Brother Hagin. I went like this. It's an honor and a pleasure. Bless God. I just want to let you know. Praise God. That $10,000 is a lot of money. I just thought I'd just let you know. And the guy was trying to pull my hand away. I said, no, this is a $10,000 handshake, Jack. I like to broke his arms. I shook it for about 3 minutes. You going? And you know what I did? I didn't name my seed. The check came back canceled. We gave it. Throwed it in a canceled check box, whatever, kept with it, and it wound up in the attic. Years went by. I lost that money. Wasn't Brother Higgins' fault, mine. Finally, I was out jogging on Ormond Boulevard. And the Lord said, if you catch the thief, you got to return it sevenfold. I said, the devil owed me $70,000. I said, where that check? He said, in your attic. I turn around and running back to the house as fast as I could. I walk in, Kathy was in the kitchen, which was a miracle of God to start with. So I knew it was a miracle day. Glory to God. She said, what? I said, where are our old checks and cancel checks? She said, in the attic. I said, get out of the way, woman! Up to the attic. I went, I mean, I'm throwing checks and all kinds of IRS stuff, you know, till I found that $10,000 check and I held it as high as I could in my attic and shouted. I said, devil, if I catch you, you got to return it sevenfold. You owe me $70,000. Ladies and gentlemen, within 4 days, I had $70,000. Somebody shout somebody. 4 days from the time I screamed that thing in the attic. God honored us. But you see, I had forgot what I did. See, I forgot the past. That's the point. The true way of dissolving doubts is to start at the beginning. To learn from the past is the wisdom of the present. My job is not to ask you to believe, but to make you believe by the evidence. See, most preachers won't tell you what they got. You know why? And they use this thing. Well, I don't want to sound proud. No, they're afraid that their offerings won't be any bigger. They're afraid. Well, Lord, Jesus, I ain't going to tell them that. They're afraid. Well, yeah, you know, I had a lady tell me this on this cruise. Remember that? But Jesse, you know, you wear nice clothes and nice jewelry. Does that hurt your love offerings? Didn't she say that? Didn't she say that? I said, well, if they're a love offering, it shouldn't hurt at all. If it's a love offering. If it's a love offering, how you hurt love? You see my point? I'm not bragging. I don't even want to talk about it half the time. But the Spirit of God says you have to dissolve doubts by physical evidence. Listen to the point. My job is not to ask you to believe, but to make you believe by the evidence. What did I do when I prayed for that lady? I brought evidence up to stand by her. You, Suzanne, I brought you to stand by her. And I know you're an anointed woman of God, and I had that in my mind too. But I said, listen, devil, I'm going to show you. I'm going to say, Hazel, I'm going to show you something. Here's a woman who had the thing. They ain't got none of it no more. Completely free. See, that was my job, was to dissolve that stinking doctor's report. Not deny it. And what he did wasn't wrong. Just change it. And give her evidence to prove to the fact that God can and God will if you'll just believe like she believed. The blindest person of them all is he who has no use for his faith. You ought to write that down. The blindest person of them all is he who has no use for his faith. I call the faith seeing power. You can say, oh yeah, you can say something Satan can't believe. I've said that before. Let me say it again. You can say something Satan can't believe. That's one of the most amazing statements the Lord ever allowed me to say. What are you saying? I'm saying the blindest person of them all is he who has no use for his faith, the seeing power. You can say something Satan can't believe because he's not spiritual. You notice you never tempted in the spirit? Have you ever been tempted to speak in tongues? Have you ever been tempted just, let's just heal someone, believe Jesus to heal them? Have you ever sat right there and just been so tempted? Just so, have you ever been in a nightclub half drunk, blood, I mean messed up bad, and you say, let's just pray? No. Unless you're throwing up, oh God. If you heal me, I'll never. No, you lying like a dog. I'll never drink again. Then you go put your face in a place where your face should never be. He gonna tempt you in the spirit. He's spiritually dead. You a spirit. He's not. He's spiritually dead. He has no seeing power. That's why he asked Jesus to do something he could see. He can only see flesh. He can't see spirit. You see what I'm saying? When you understand this, then you'll understand this statement. Has God been in our thoughts or in great measure been excluded from them? Has God been in your thoughts or in great measure excluded from them? Now watch this. People interpret events in the light of their own thoughts. The world flatters those who interpret the truth to suit them. Why don't you interpret to honor God? You see, Belshazzar saying, hey, I'll give you a gold chain. I'll make you third in the kingdom. Scarlet robe, you're going to be the man. All you got to do is interpret something to please me. Listen to it. People interpret events in light of their own thoughts. The world flatters those who interpret the truth to suit them. Interpret to honor God. Here's the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen. You notice that Daniel was not invited to the banquet. Let me tell you something. They don't need us right now until a 9/11 happens. You notice we're not invited to the nice parties, to the party. Oh, that's them too. That's them stupid Christians, man. We don't mess with them dumb stupid Christians. Notice you're not invited until something go wrong. Because all those, quote, smart people can't read nothing spiritual because they're spiritually dead. And they're interpreting everything so they can get a gold chain and a scarlet robe and be third. They're for sale. Notice we're not even invited to the party. Not even to the banquet. Belshazzar don't even know who Daniel is. The queen has to remember. This is a guy that can solve 90 problems. He's a dissolver of doubts and an interpreter of dreams. Why? He's a spiritual man. He has a seeing power. He has faith. My God, my God. You were created to glorify God, and in that consists the supreme and eternal happiness of mankind. Do you know I'm supposed to create happiness everywhere I go and leave nothing but puddles of blessing everywhere I go? You notice I don't fight people like a lot of preachers do. Is this rubbing? Okay. I got a little microphone thing on there. I don't fight. You notice I don't have church problems as other people do. Have you noticed that? I fly above Christian turbulence. Have you noticed that? You can believe what you want. You can get mad at me, but I'm going to love you anyway. It doesn't make any difference. Do you understand? You see, I don't judge a restaurant by some crazy waiter. But a lot of people do. But I ain't going over there. I may go, I'm going to still get some good food. Now, if the owner of that place is arguing with me, that's a different thing. Because he wants it his way. And I went there to eat what I want, not what he want. I had a man one time went to buy a suit not too long ago. He put it on. He said, this really looks, I didn't like it. He put it on. He said, this looks good. I said, I don't like it. He said, no, this really looks good. I said, then why don't you buy it? He went, excuse me. I said, excuse me. I said, you excused. I saw this young guy. I said, you, come here. It looks like you can understand things. He didn't know what to say. He goes, and he's looking at his boss. He says, well, I think so. I said, I like this. Now, don't tell me if you don't like it. That ain't a dish. He said, well, I said, you like that suit? And he boss walked out. Do you like it? He said, that's a trashy suit. I didn't like it myself. I said, he's just trying to sell me something. Don't try to sell me something. Let me go. I can sell myself. Now, I know people do that and they got to make a living. Don't misunderstand. But especially if you immediately say, you know, I just don't like that. Like the other day, I saw a dress and I wanted to buy it for Kathy. It's what do you call it, a suit. I thought it was beautiful. It was at a St. John boutique. I walked and I went, I like that. Kathy walked right by that thing. She ain't got no taste. I thought, Lord Jesus. I said, Kathy, look at it. She says, I don't like that. Now the little sales lady, she goes, oh, that's a beautiful, that's a beautiful, that's a really pretty dress. That's a beautiful. I said, buy it. But I happen to like it. And sometimes Kathy will buy something that she don't like, that she know I like, or something like that, vice versa. But as a rule, that don't happen. Because, see, she made me buy a suit I didn't like. I wore it one time, gave it away. What'd you do with that suit? Didn't like it. Why'd you buy it? Well, because I love you and I thought you'd like it. Well, you look so nice in it, in your eyes. And maybe she's true. Maybe that's right. It's not the issue. But if, see, what I'm saying is if you're not satisfied, then nobody else, it don't make no difference. Everybody else is. You're not going to do that. You just don't feel proper, whatever it may be in them, whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? Now, if you have no taste at all, then let your wife or someone help you out or something. You know what I'm trying to say? Like if you wear brown shoes with a black pants, something wrong. You know, some people don't know some things. It'll just kind of help you out there a little bit. Praise God. And women know how to do that because they accessorize. See, well, men are starting to accessorize now. Nah, I mean, boy, men are into it, Lord. Now, I can't go buy a tie without a scarf. I like all that. Before, I wasn't. Kathy said, why don't you put the, I said, yeah. Yeah, that does look good. Yeah. And like, and I bought this coat. I said, man, I ought to put a pair of black pants with this. She said, look at the buttons, fool. Oh, yeah, I got it. Look at the buttons, fool. I got it. All right. Buy that cream colored pants. I said, well, they're liable to see through it. She said, wear long drawers. I said, okay. I tell you, women know how to do things, you understand? I was learning. Ain't that funny? That's what most preachers never tell you. I will. They don't make no difference. Why'd you say that? A dissolver of doubts. This is Kathy, concerning these pants. Can see farther into reasons and causes than others can. She could see farther than my reason or my cause on this particular thing. Because women accessorize. You know, they get the buttons to match stuff. They got all kinds of stuff. Oh, gee, it's amazing to me. Even saying, you know, most men wear one color underwear. But not no more today. Now they got their pants down to here and they're holding their clothes. They're walking around like that. That just got to be uncomfortable. That's all I can say. You walk around like that, your butt's hanging out, Lord Jesus, and you think, I'm cool. They call that cool. I call that work. Holding them pants, you know, I got a hole in them. Well, let me tell you, young people, let me help you out. See, you're doing something you shouldn't do. You ought to buy a pair of pants that fit you. Because one day, you're going to fit them big fat pants that you wear. You are confessing something. I want you to know, right now you got a 28-inch waist, and you're buying them 50 pair of pants, and the crotch is hanging down the hip. But as you get older, you're going to fill them pants out, and you're going to have them pants up to here, and you're going to be walking around like this. You confessing something. You better... You confessing something. That's okay. That's what you want to do. But you confessing something. That's funny, isn't it? Glory to God. I thought it was. A dissolver of doubts can see farther into reasons and causes than others can. See? Why? Because the primary job of who you are is to dissolve that. Now, you really find out how strong you are in the Word of God when money, gifts, and things are presented to you for your, quote, expertise. But it's done in the wrong way. Listen to this point. Beware of filling your hands with bribes and then read the world's riddles. I had a guy tell me not long ago, he said, boy, Brother Jesse, you got the anointing and increase in you. Why don't you receive the offering today? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 20%. I looked at him and smiled. I said, I'm not for sale, man. I don't do those things. That's a bribe. One time I was preaching, God is my witness, the pastor walked up and he wanted me to go an extra day. Remember that? I don't know if Kevin remember. One, he said, man, the place is jam-packed people. You gotta go an extra day. He takes a $5,000, you didn't see it because it was a pulpit with a lip on it about this high, maybe by the time. He threw a $5,000 check. He said, that's yours if you'll stay an extra day. Nobody knew about it. I just smiled and I said, glory to God. How many of y'all want me to extend this meeting? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, I'm not. As the Lord told me to go home, I took the check. Y'all couldn't see it. I said, you're going to need this, not me. Why? I don't deal with bribes. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? I'm not for sale. And I didn't have nothing in those days. My job was to dissolve the doubts of that congregation and to minister life to those people. Now, watch this. And some of the, quote, the politicians and the major people of the communities and the nation, you know, they don't care too much for preachers. Oh, we're not invited, let's say, to the banquet. But I won't tell you something, some of you ministers that you don't think you're worth very much. They hadn't invited you for nothing. They don't need you now, but they will. Belshazzar going to be calling. Because you see, they're messing with the morality of a nation here. They're beginning to speak so evil against the scripture. And if anybody says anything about Jesus, it's amazing to me how we can teach Islam and call it history, but if we teach Christianity, it's called religion. Now, wait a minute. Okay, you don't want us to teach Christianity? Fine, then you shouldn't teach Islam if it's in a school setting. All right, if you want to have separation of church and state, okay, we'll understand that, but you can't do one without the other. You see my point? Let me just say it again. You may never be invited to the banquet at first, but you will be wanted by Belshazzar one day. Let me tell the people that are watching, and I'm talking about the leaders of our nation. One day you will call us because you can't read that interpretation. You don't realize what's happening. You see? And I'm going to tell you something. They may not need us now, but they're going to call us, James. They're going to call you. They're going to call me. You know what? Because we can read that writing. And guess what? We're going to tell them, take your gifts, your riddles, and your bribes, and give it to someone else. But what's going to happen is you're going to lose power, and we're going to get the gift. God's going to bless us anyway. Daniel still got the gold chain and the scarlet robe. But Belshazzar died that night and lost his kingdom as Daniel was reading that interpretation to the Medes and the Persians. Daniel didn't even consider it. But yet, because he honored God and he wasn't afraid to say what the Lord says, the Lord said, because you honored me, you're going to get the gold chain. You're going to get it. And Darius put him over. He said, I'm going to put him over everything. So he was more than third in the kingdom. He was right next to Darius. And Cyrus, those two guys, Darius and Cyrus. Isn't that amazing? Why? See, when you're not for sale, you'll own the store. Somebody shout, somebody. When you're not for sale. See, that's iniquity. You got to watch that iniquity. Iniquity is not as bad as sin. It just twisted things. Iniquity is... Yeah, how many of y'all know what wicker furniture is? That's where we get the word wicked. Wicker, wicked, twisted. And you can twist it, make it look pretty, but it's still wicked. It's still wicked. Do you see what I'm saying? So the primary job of the believer is to dissolve doubts, to shut it down, and to interpret whatever thus saith the Lord says, and then stand by it. And you may not be invited. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, when people got in trouble, all of a sudden I became their best friend. They wanted to talk to me. Why? Because I could understand what was coming down the pike, like they say. But I just made up my mind. I thought, wow. And instead of going, no, I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. They may not invite me today, but they Belshazzar will be calling. You see what I'm saying? Because they don't know how to handle. They don't realize that. Let me say this in close. They don't know how to change a generation. You're not going to change a generation. You don't legislate morality. You cannot legislate morality. It has to be God given. And when people say, well, the Bible says, and they all laugh at that. The Bible. You see my point? They can't read anything, much less read the Bible. But the day will come because their end and their beginning is in the Bible that they don't believe. But they don't have anybody to read it. But they're going to call for you one day. Say, you know about this. What about that? What about this? And then that name was Mene, 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 Tikal, Tikal, which means you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And he died that night. Why? He touched something holy that he shouldn't have touched. You that are watching, you the politicians, you be very careful. You're touching something very holy, something more powerful than a nuclear bomb or the arsenal of the United States. You better watch yourself. You better be very careful. You're dealing with things you know nothing about. And the reason why you don't think it's much, because you look at some of the preachers that you've been receiving counseling and they're running around and having babies by other women too. So you got a soothsayer. You don't have a preacher in your midst. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You got an astrologer. You ain't got a man of God. You don't have a woman of God saying, thus saith the Lord. You got somebody that listens so they can get the scarlet robe and the chain. You better listen to me. You may not need us now, son. But when it's going to hit, you're going to call for us. See, because they're interpreting to honor you and honor themselves. They're not interpreting to honor God at all. You see my point? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's a little strong, isn't it? But that's exactly what's happening. Why? They're for sale. What do you want to hear? And I will tell you. See my point? You can't legislate morale. You better let us get to those kids. Because we'll stop crime if you let us get to those kids. We know how to shut down all that junk. It's called grandmas bringing kids to church. Remember? It's called a man marrying a woman and being a father instead of fatherless and just trying to have as many babies as can so they can raise your check a little bit and could care less about anybody. And that woman's got to hold down five jobs to trying to just to make a living for the child. Where's all the responsibility in life? You see my point? What we need to do something here. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't make ways for those things to happen. You're going to produce a generation that's going to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and no morality, nothing whatsoever inside to stop that. They'll kill you today for 10 cents. Life is cheap. It doesn't make any difference. It's a crying shame that gangs have to be fathers to children because children don't have a father or don't have a mother. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not just black, white, brown. It's all color. It's all nationality. It's all creed. Because the world, the politician world, the political world is trying to legislate morality. If oral sex is not oral sex, then why can't you do it publicly on the street? If it isn't sex, then why did it have sex on the end of it? You get arrested for indecent exposure. Come on, let the elevator go to the top. But that came down from the highest office in the world, ladies and gentlemen. That should have never been said. Much less documented. Kids going to pick up on that in a second. Especially if you're 12, 13 years old and your hormones are kicked up so hot. You say, oh, that's okay, okay. You see my point? You don't even realize what's happening, man. Are you living in a dream world? Yeah, Lord, I'll say it. You Congress and you judges. You need to get behind that bench and go to a church. Oh, glory to God. You need to go to a church. You want to find out what the founding fathers thought of and what they and how they interpreted things? They went to church. You can say what you want. Go to Washington, D.C. You won't find Buddha's writings. You won't find Muhammad's writings. You're going to find this. Do you hear that? Somebody shout in this place. I'm trying to dissolve your doubt. You're going to find this. You're going to find it behind the Supreme Court justices. You're going to find the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court of the United States. We're not trying to make everybody a Christian. You ought to be a Christian. Go look at every building you got there in Washington, D.C. and there's scripture on it. Why? Because this legislates morality. This stops a murderer from murdering. This stops a rapist from raping. This stops a thief from stealing. Do you understand what I'm saying? This will make an honest man out of you, an honest woman, an honest citizen, a great Democrat. Somebody shout. This will make you a great Democrat, make you a great Republican, make you a great Independent. It will make you a great American. It will. It will, it will, it will, it will, it will. It will make it. This is it. Woo, glory. This is not killing children. This is not bombing cars and destroying innocent lives. This is saving innocent life, ladies and gentlemen. God, help us, Jesus. I'm not trying to get around your civil rights. I understand that I'm an American. I like being free. But this is what made us free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You know what? Martin Luther King died for this. The reason why the civil rights movement started was because of this. That you could not declare wrong because of the color of some man's skin or the sex of somebody. No, Jesus said you're free. There's neither male nor female. Hallelujah. Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free. Black or white or yellow or brown. Why? Who you are a speaking spirit housed in a soul and clothed in a body. That's what you are. Ooh, glory to God. But if you take your soothsayers to interpret this, you'll put black people in bondage and call them slaves. You'll put Chinese in bondage and make them workers and build all Americans. Steal those people blind. Because your soothsayers, your astrologers, they're sleeping around too. Oh, Jesus, I didn't think I'd get this strong. Lord, God help me. But this will stop it. Ah, a lot of you don't believe it. That's all right. You don't need to invite us, but we coming. And we're going to interpret it. We're going to interpret that. Ladies and gentlemen, all you to watch my internet, all you American, all you people, let's take our country back. Let's take our young people back. Let's teach them good things. And let them be kids. They want to wear pants down and they're okay. Because they, you know, it's called whatever. It's their style. That's not the issue. But let's take them back. That some killer has to be their father. Let's pay people correctly so they don't have to sell drugs to make a living. What Wall Street needs is a good dose of this. It'll get rid of the greed. You know there's no shortage of oil, but everybody's pumping an oil price. You know what's happening? People got in there greedy again. Here we go. Nothing wrong with making money, ladies and gentlemen. Don't misunderstand. It's not the issue. But boy, to hurt someone to do it is a wrong thing. I'm dissolving your doubts. I'm not just saying this. I'm telling you, it's not too late. It's not too late. We can change this generation. We surely have the technology to do so. Did you enjoy it today? Stand to your feet, everyone. I know it's a little late. I went a little, not too long, I think. Glory to God. I almost sound like I was running for office here. I'm not. You know, here in America, I don't really care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. What I care about is, can you live clean? Can you live right? Everything you do in life, will it be a blessing to your family and a blessing to your community? Will it make a solid citizen out of someone? Yeah. Will it make them a blessing to the next generation? Everybody got different opinions politically. I got enough sense to know that. But ladies and gentlemen, a Democrat can walk perfect in this. A Republican can walk perfect in this. An independent can walk perfect. I'm talking to here in America, you that are watching by the internet. Well, you might be in Germany, whatever. Let me tell you something. If our leaders will adopt this, and you know what that means by adopting this? Which means give someone the right to be a Buddhist. This gives someone the right to be. That's what you want. Because what I love about Jesus is he never forces himself on anyone. But I'm tired of little Palestinians dying and little Jewish people dying. 18-year-old girl blowing herself up, killing an 18-year-old Jewish girl. Both futures are destroyed while old people argue. Something's not right. I'm not against anybody. I'm against the devil. I'm telling you, Christianity, in my opinion, is where it's at. But you know what Mahatma Gandhi said? Yeah, I love history. I study and read history. Mahatma Gandhi said, if I'd ever met a Christian, I'd have become one. You know how many Christians he met? How many people from the Empire of England at that time? He said, if I'd have met a Christian, I'd have become one. Just because you call yourself a Christian don't mean you are one. Don't tell me we can't get together. We can. In our Senate and in our House of Representatives, what part of the aisle are you on? Do you know you got Republicans believe a lot like Democrats? And you got Democrats believe a lot like Republicans? Then you got the extremes. Instead of trying to be overcome with power, we ought to be able to supersede it, get past it. Say, I preach to you today. This preaching does not, well, how do I say that so you can understand it? Preaching does not supersede thought. Preaching should make you think. Think. We'll get it done. We'll raise beautiful children. But I want to tell you something. I see these kids sometimes. I call them kids. They can be from 12 to 30 to me. I like them. I see great potential in all of them. But if all they can see is gangs, and they never have a future of anything else because keep teaching hate, one generation would stop it all. You know, if you had a grandbaby and never told them they were white, they wouldn't know it. Or never told them they were brown. Or never told them they were black or red or yellow. Just tell them you are a human being. Do you know how much a whole generation, that would shut this junk down? It's called racism. You know, Christianity has a provision for that. But if Jesus washes it all away, doesn't cover it, washes it away. I'm not talking about being proud of your heritage. I believe it. I'm a Cajun. I'm proud of my heritage. I really am. Some people call us stupid. No, Cajun people stupid. We just smile and let them pay $20 a pound for crawfish and we get it for 50 cents. Just smile. Oh, my God. It's all right. I'm going to ask you to meet Jesus today. You need a change in your life. You've tried everything else. You might even tried Christianity. Why don't you try Christ? Why don't you get to the person instead of the religion? Huh? Woo, Lord, when you meet Christ, whole lot different than Christianity. That's what we are endeavoring to do here at Covenant Church. Is to teach people Christ. We know we're Christians. But we're so different than most Christians. Because we have met the person. The person dictates to us. See, God to us is not some distant whatever. It's hello, Jesse. Hello, Jesus. We kind of like that around here. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. If you'd like to know God instead of knowing about God, would you give us the honor of saying, Lord, there's a person who want to meet you today. It's called getting saved for the first time. Knowing you, Lord, personally. And I used to stop right there, but the Lord always arrested my mind and said, take it further, Jesse. Always do. Maybe you're in this building today. No, no, you're not backslidden to hell by no means. But you're not living the way you should live, and you need to come back to God. I don't know, maybe some Christian hurt you. Some preacher hurt you. Maybe I hurt you. If I did, I apologize. Would you give us the honor of going to the throne and say, Lord, here's a man, here's a woman. They have had some tough times, but tough times don't last. Tough people do. So with your head bowed, please, your eyes closed. If you'd like to know God instead of knowing about him, meaning the person, or, and be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be with God, and you need to come back to him, would you lift your hand up? Draw a little closer to him. Thank you. I see those hands. Could I see others? Yes. All the way to the back to the front. Look at the people. Thank you. You may put your hand down. I see that. Could I see others quickly? Don't miss my Jesus. Don't worry about the time. It's only 10 minutes after 12. Thank you. I see that hand. I've got to go to Alabama right after I leave here. Then I got to go to Green Bay. Ooh, I've been preaching a lot. I said, God, why? He said, Jesse, I want people to see honesty. I want people to see integrity. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm going to run you. I said, okay. Could I see one more? I just want, thank you. I see that hand. Yes, I do. I want all of you to look at me. I've said it so many times. I have to say it again. I would never lie to you people. I've had too many people lie to me. I don't know why. But I made up my mind. Even my own family. I thought, good Lord. I told God, if you ever do anything in my life, I would live the truth. I've kept that promise. I didn't find it hard. I did not find it hard. Because I know Jesus. Many of you lifted your hand. That took some integrity. You thought about it and then you went, that's me. Whether it was a first time salvation or knowing Jesus, meeting Christ for the first time, or I am not exactly where I should be. I need to come back. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, because you are a person of integrity. I want you to get your purse, your Bible, your personal things. I want you to get out of your seat. Come stand here in front of everybody. What's wrong with that? Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody. Quickly come. Get your personal belongings and quickly come. It will not take long. 1 minute maybe at the most. Come. Give them a hand clap as they come. Hallelujah, Lord. Falling in love with Jesus.
are watching by internet and all over the world. Faith destroys all distance between God and man. You can meet Christ today in Germany, China, India. Hello, India. Hallelujah. Australia, Europe, Asia. My Lord. Russia.
New Zealand.
You know what I just told you? We preach all over the world there. Such an honorable thing that God would ask us to do so. You that have come forward, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with your heart. Confess it with your mouth. When we finish this prayer, you'll be in God's kingdom, whether it's a first time salvation, a meeting Jesus, or a drawing closer, coming back the way you should be. Are you ready? I'm going to ask everybody here in the audience to pray this prayer with us. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there for just a minute. You made it.